Jesus Christ, so this is the second last Sunday of the church year. When I pick out the hymns earlier in the week, sometimes you don't know that some of them will actually resonate with current events. For example, the first hymn will be hymn number 605, "The World is Very Evil." And that certainly was reinforced this last week by terrorist attacks in Paris, where we do see evil in the world erupting. And we see people's time on this earth cut short. But you know, our Lord and Savior has provided not only for time on this earth, but also time with Him for eternity. And the time for eternity on this earth is but a prelude for eternity. And that's why He gives us this time of grace to come to repentance, so that we might know who our Savior is, and also not be afraid of the evils of this world, knowing that our Lord cares for us now as well as forever in His Son, Jesus Christ. We begin our service then with the singing of our first hymn, hymn number 605, "The World is Very Evil." And I don't think we have to sing all five stanzas. Why don't we sing stanzas 1, 2, and 5 and rise for 5 in honor of our triune God, and then we remain standing as we continue with our service, which begins on page 5 of the 4 part of our hymnal. So we'll sing stanzas 1 and 2 and 5 and rise for 5.
Thank you.
word indeed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O Lord, most merciful God, grant to thy only begotten Son to die for us, and have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
Save me, O God, by your name, and judge me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies, cut them off in your truth.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Church here. chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the 9th verse. Cast yourself up on a high mountain of Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Behold, the Lord will come with might, with his arm ruling forth. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will lead his flock, in his arms he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. So far, the Old Testament lesson. The epistle lesson, and also the lesson upon which this morning's sermon is based, was written in the 3rd chapter of St. Peter's second letter, beginning at the 3rd verse. Notice, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of the Lord, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded by water. But the present heavens and earth by his word are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some kind of slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all of these things are to be destroyed this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt away with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligently to be found by him in peace, spotless, and blameless. So far the epistle lesson. We now rise to speak the gradual, responsibly at the conclusion, sing the triple hallelujah. The Lord is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Answer me in your faithfulness. And do not enter into judgment with your servant. I stretch out my hands to you. Let me hear your steadfast love in the morning. Teach me the ways in which I should walk. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Hallelujah, O Lord, deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. Righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of that, you did it to me. Many will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. And they themselves also will answer, say, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Many will answer, saying, truly I say unto you, to the extent that you did it not to one of the least of these, you did not do it unto me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So far, the Holy Gospel. Confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, printed at the top, page 12.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He descended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We now continue with our sermon hymn, hymn number 393, From God Shall Not Divide Me, and before the sermon we sing stanzas 1 to 3.
Thank you. To those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and love be multiplied unto you. We hear a portion of the epistle lesson from St. Peter's second letter, which was read earlier. But do not let this one fact escape you, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow about his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So far the text. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, there's an old joke about how God measures things and how we measure things, and I might have used it once before. But a man is speaking with God, and he says, Lord, is it true that with you one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years but a day? And the Lord says, yes, that's true. So the man continues, well, I guess it would be also true that with you a penny would be like $1,000,000. And the Lord said, well, yeah, that would be true. And so the man says, well, can you lend me a penny? And the Lord says, sure, can you wait till tomorrow? The joke, of course, is that the person is trying to take advantage of the Lord, but God is not to be taken advantage of. But it does underlie a certain truth, and that is that God measures time differently than we do. In fact, even more important than just measuring time, God has a purpose for time. And that brings me to this morning's sermon topic, the purpose of time. And I'll speak about that in three parts. First, God measures time. Secondly, there is time enough for patience. And thirdly, we speak about kingdom time. You know, we all measure time. If we cook, we set the timer on top of the stove so we know how long the water has to boil or how long something has to be in the oven at a certain temperature and so forth and so on. But, you know, measuring time is one of the things we have to learn. Little children, for example, do not have a good concept of time. I remember, you know, when going on vacation, it didn't take long for my sister and myself, when we were going on a long trip, to start saying, are we there yet? And I'm sure that probably drove my parents just crazy. Or if you talk to a little child about Christmas, and here it is, say, Thanksgiving, and you say, well, Christmas is in just another month. And they don't know what another month is. They think, well, shouldn't it be tomorrow? In today's epistle lesson, St. Peter is rebuking scoffers who have seemingly fallen from the faith, but were still hanging around the congregation and causing trouble. You know, these scoffers were like little children on a car trip saying, are we there yet? But instead of saying, are we there yet? They said, where's the promise of his coming? The scoffers had seen that some of their friends had died and had fallen asleep, and they had expected that Jesus would have come before that would have happened. From a human point of view, these scoffers were measuring time, but the time that they were measuring was the time between when Jesus had ascended into heaven and when they thought he should return. But because God did not move according to the timetable they thought God should keep, they began to doubt. As a matter of fact, they did more than doubt. They fell into despair, and to cover up their doubt and their despair, they began to make fun of Christians who were waiting for Christ. They began to mock and jeer at the very mention that Jesus was coming again. And here they had fallen into great sin and vice, and Peter describes them in his first epistle as those who walk according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. It seems that if they thought Jesus was not going to come again, then it didn't matter how they should conduct their lives. Peter, however, instructs his readers and us that the scoffers are false teachers, neither knowing how God measures time, nor that Jesus indeed will come again to judge the living and the dead. Peter says quite clearly, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and one day, and 1,000 years is one day. God's way of measuring time is not our way of measuring time. God sits enthroned on the heavens, and he sees from one end of eternity to the other end of eternity, as well as peering down into our world, which is still bound by time. He sits and surveys the beginning and the end of all things. In his comments, Peter probably is paraphrasing Psalm 90, when Moses wrote, "For 1,000 years in your sight is like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass, which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withered." The point that both Peter and Moses are making is that compared to God's measurement of time, we are like grass. In the morning, we grow up and we flourish, but by evening, we wither and are cut down. Our lifespans for God are but the flash of a camera, perhaps a snapping of the fingers. Now, Peter's point here is to compare our limited concept of time with God's measurement of eternity. A noted Lutheran theologian has said, "God's relation to time must never be confused with our relation to time." Peter does not say, A single day is 1,000 years, or 1,000 years are but a single day. Well, what it means that evolutionists must never be, and their sympathizers are wrong to conclude that each day in creation is some indeterminate spell of time. Also, millennialists are wrong in interpreting Revelation 20 as to mean 1,000 years. But in our relation to Christ coming again, we live in a time of grace so that God has time enough for patience. God has time enough for patience to accommodate the brief span of our lives. God had enough patience to send his Son Jesus Christ to live among us. And Jesus had enough patience to redeem the time allotted to him on this earth. And Jesus redeemed the time by living a sinless life and finally going to the cross to pay for our sins, even the debt that the scoffers incurred by mocking him. And in rising from the dead, Jesus not only redeemed our time on this earth, but time to be with God for eternity. In redeeming the time and buying back the time from sin, death, and the power of the devil, Jesus promised that one day he would return to redeem the whole of creation. The redemption of the whole of creation is described in words which speak about burning and melting. And this is the same idea of a refining fire. When metal is heated to a high temperature, it is purified because the dross and impurities rise to the top and then are skimmed off and cast off. And all that remains is the pure metal. The purity is now reshaped into a new heaven and a new earth, the new Jerusalem where God will be pleased to dwell with his people forever. And when the dross is removed, what awaits us? Listen to the words of the Apostle John. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eye. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." That is a fantastic future to which to look forward. It puts life on this earth into perspective. And of that day when Jesus is going to come again, no one knows. But God has patience. He is long-suffering, and that patience gives a purpose to time. And the purpose is stated by the Apostle Peter in our reading for this morning. "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And the purpose of time is a time of grace where God wants people to come to repentance, to confess their sins, and to believe that Jesus indeed has died and risen for them, and so enjoy the benefits of forgiveness, which indeed is life and salvation. And the time that God has redeemed is kingdom time, the time in which on this earth we live in God's kingdom of grace. This is the kingdom in which our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead a godly life here in time and hereafter in eternity. This is the kingdom which comes to us because Jesus told His first disciples, "Go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And this kingdom comes through God's holy word, where the Holy Spirit has worked faith in our hearts. This word of forgiveness gives life and salvation to all who believe. The word of forgiveness is renewed as Jesus shares with us His true body and blood in Holy Communion. And in this time of grace, Peter asks, "What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" Well, I guess on the one hand, we can all look in the mirror and say, "I could do a better job." And I think that's probably a fair enough assessment of all our lives. We could all be more generous. We could be kinder. We could be more upright, more devoted to our God as well as to our neighbor. And by the way, neighbor is anybody besides ourselves. But what manner of persons ought we to be is not a matter of pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. Rather, it is realizing that God in Christ's cross has pulled us up out of the depths of sin and spiritual death so that we might walk in the newness of life which He has given us in forgiveness. And as we are renewed, we are forgiven. And when we ponder that word of forgiveness, we realize that we are walking in kingdom time and that God is patient with each one of us, each and every day. He is faithful that as we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive them. And this gives us the renewing power of Jesus to shun the world and its ways, the ways of scoffing, despair, and even, God forbid, of unbelief. In faith on the last great day, all that we have done in Jesus will stand, and the rest will be burned, and we shall be raised up by the power of Jesus Himself, who as He was raised from the dead, so shall raise up all who believe in Him to perfect newness of life forever, world without end. Time in God has a purpose. God is willing to give us and the world time to repent, time to believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through the Son. And as we go through this life awaiting the return of our Lord and Savior, we may be like little children who are on a long trip and ask, "Are we there yet? Or how long? How much further?" These are human questions to which our God in Christ gives us an answer of comfort. On our journey, Jesus is with us to the end of the age. He is with us, forgiving us and renewing us. Thus, we are assured no matter how long or short our trip through this world is, we needn't fear nor need we lose hope. For us and for all who believe, He has prepared that place where He will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
We now continue with stanzas 4 to 6 of hymn 393, "From God Shall Not Divide Me." At the conclusion of stanza 6, we turn back to page 12 of the forepart of our hymnal. Join our hearts and voices in the offertory, after which we shall receive the offering. Rise for prayer. We give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone. The trust, O God, from thee. Lord God, Heavenly Father, of whom and through whom and to whom are all things, to thee be glory forever and ever. We thank thee for all thy blessings, for our creation of all that exists, for the priceless gifts and endowment of body and mind, and for thy daily provision for all the necessities of life, for the joys of home, family, and friends, and for good government and just laws, for the light of education and the growth of the healing arts, for thy protection in danger and for thy deliverance from all evil. Thus most heartily do we thank thee for the gift of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom thou hast saved us from wrath and appointed us to obtain salvation and eternal life. Grant that we may be filled with his Spirit and produce the fruits of faith, hope, and compassion, so that when he shall come in glory, we may be received into his eternal kingdom. And as thou wilt then bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and make manifest the counsels of all hearts, make manifest to us our exceeding sinfulness, and lead us to repentance. Cleanse and purify us by thy grace, that we may be absolved from all our sins and preserved from the power of evil. Sanctify all our thoughts, utterances, and endeavors, that we may perfectly love and serve thee, and so direct and counsel us that, according to thy good pleasure, we may daily work out our salvation in fear and trembling, and finally, on the day of judgment, be conformed unto the image of thy dear Son. Open the eyes of thy church to see that Christ, the bridegroom from heaven, is nigh, and that there remains a rest for the people of God to labor with diligence by proclaiming thy word with all boldness, that multitudes may be saved by the glory of thy holy name. Have dominion over all the nations of the earth, and in every land by thy word, call, gather, and enlighten the people who may give love and obedience to thee through our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our own land. Guide those who are in authority with thy wisdom, that they may rule with humility, serve with uprightness, lead with vision, plan with intelligence, and grant their freedom, clarity, and unity to dwell among us. Defend our homes from the corrupting influences of the world, the devil, and our own flesh. Keep our parents in the faith, each one loving and honoring the other, and our children in affection and obedience, each one growing in grace and favor with thee. We pray for all sorts and conditions of men, but especially for the afflicted. Lift up the weary and the wounded, touch the sick and the diseased, strengthen the aged and infirm, give hope to the diseased, depressed, and anxious, guard the imperiled and oppressed, and by thy mighty power give them in Christ Jesus light for their darkness and joy for their sadness. To this end, we especially pray for Nancy, Roy, Gerald, Jean, Marlene, Don, Linda, Carla, and Kurt, Lee, Rose, and her husband, our neighbor Sue, Carolyn, and Carolyn's friend Sue, Dunders, Richard Hawker, Bruce Shoyer, James, Chloe and Dagny, Doug Priestup, and Robert Liss. We would ask that you would be with Terry and Jenna and the Moore as they celebrate the birth of their daughter, and be pleased to accept her into thy kingdom of grace through the washing regeneration of holy baptism. Be with Pastor Gurith as he considers the call from Gethsemane and Spokane, and give him an extra measure of thy Holy Spirit so that he may see where his town's best lie in the furtherance of thy kingdom. Be with those who are driving to services this day. Set your holy angels over them and grant them a safe journey. Heavenly Father, in the aftermath of terror in Paris, we would ask that you would comfort those who are wounded, that you would provide comfort also for the families of those who have lost loved ones, and that you would direct all to the cross of Christ, where true healing and forgiveness may be found. And now, O God, who will once more shake the heavens and the earth, but who has given us a kingdom which cannot be moved, grant unto us steadfastness and patience, that when thy Son shall appear, and all his holy angels with him, we may be clothed with his righteousness and inherit the heavenly city which abides forever. In his exalted name we pray, for he has also taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them. Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever the one true God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We conclude our service with the singing of hymn 552, Abide With Me, and we sing stanzas 1 and 2 and 4 and 8.